You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, Mr. Gallagher.
Oh, Mr. Sheen.
I understand. I hope people get these references. I understand we've been nominated for a podcast award.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
Yes, because like I always talk about, the first time we did a podcast together, we were sitting in a pizza store.
Yeah.
And we can't say the guy's name.
The pizza store owner?
Yeah, no.
Oh, I like the way you call it a pizza store.
Yeah. A pizzeria. And I was saying to you,
We gave it
we
a
tried
shot.
Tried it.
We gave it a shot.
Gave it a shot. Yeah.
And here we are 100 and something, 108, 110 episodes later.
And we're voted.
Yes.
For best podcast.
Well, not yet.
Yes.
But we're nominated.
It's only a matter of time.
You're cocky.
Because you'll all go out. You will go out and vote for Gilbert Gottfried's amazing, colossal podcast. Go out and vote.
Yes, go to www.podcastawards.com. Tell them which podcast you want to vote for. That's us. And they're telling me that you can vote every day, that it resets. You can vote on a Monday.
Vote every day, folks. Vote every day for Gilbert Gottfried's amazing, colossal podcast.
Voting starts May 29th for 2 weeks. And I guess you can vote early and often.
Yes. Vote all you want.
I don't know if you
can
vote.
But vote for Gilbert Gottfried's amazing, colossal podcast, because if it becomes big enough, I can get a new co-host.
That's really what this is really all about. Huh?
That's all I want.
I see.
Please make me happy.
Again, www.podcastawards.com, and we thank you guys.
This is Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here at Nutmeg Post with our engineer, Frank Verderosa, and I'm sitting across from my co-host, Frank Santopadre, and once again, as our guest, we have the author of Heavy Metal Movies, Guitar Barbarians, Mutant Bimbos, and Cult Zombies Amok in the 666 most ear and eye-ripping big screen films ever, Mike McBeardo McPadden.
Oh, he's got it.
He did.
That's
thank
nice.
You.
I Why think, should he get your I name in two episodes when it took him 12 to get mine?
Yeah.
He loves you more.
Yeah. With Frank, I think it was over 2 years we worked on this.
All right. Now, this is a continuation of last week's episode, and Mike flew back into town.
Yes.
To do this again.
My wife is very understanding. Thank you, Rachel.
The theme, yeah, and this is just fun for us. We could go on all night. The theme is bad all-star, what are we saying, all-star comedies?
We'll say all-star comedy mega bombs. Yeah.
Okay.
Disasters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in the last episode, we talked about the immortal Skate Town USA.
Yes.
Wanton Tan, the dog that saved Hollywood. Which we should have asked
the
Bruce Stern
Finks.
About. And the immortal, The Finks. Yeah. So what do we got this time, Mike?
Well, this is actually a film I kind of love called Sextet with
Mae
West.
I'm familiar with it.
Yes, and it was actually her last film.
So May was not exactly in
jogging. 1978.
Yeah, so she was 84, but they think she may have been older.
Yeah.
They also think she might have had a cock, as you know. But
Well, then. You realize that this rumor will be popping up in every one of these podcasts from now on.
So, you know, it was done by, I can't think of the guy's name, but it was an exploitation, but it was made like at the height of like Rocky Horror to be a midnight
movie. We'll put our researcher is now, also here, Paul Rayburn. Who directed Sextet?
This is after the fame or infamy of
Myra Breckinridge.
I just realized I can't believe I don't have Myra Breckinridge on this list.
God. But was it safe to say that was an all-star cast? Because I remember Rex Reed.
John Huston. John Huston. Raquel Welch.
I think it's Tom Selleck's.
Tom Selleck is in it, yeah.
Who did I say? Rex Reed's in it.
Rex Reed plays Raquel Myron, Welch.
Right.
And who wakes up and says, "Where are my tits?" after this operation. John Carradine.
The mad doctor.
And he's whistling a tune. He goes, "I call that penis from heaven."
Oh, God.
Oh, what these great actors were reduced to.
And of course I heard Raquel Welch and Mae West hated each other.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul's here with the director of Sextet.
Ready? Eddie Terstel.
Oh, his father died in my basement. I never heard.
Why didn't you let him out?
Eddie Terstel. All right, tell us about Sextet, my friend.
So it was based on a play that Mae West wrote in the 20s and went to jail for on Roosevelt Island. She was locked up for obscenity.
I remember.
Called Sex. And she plays a parody of herself called Marlo Manners. And she's the hottest chick in Hollywood. But it's Mae West.
She's pushing 90.
And the Sextet are her ex-husbands. So it's these six. So one of them is Tony Curtis. Timothy Dalton is her new one.
Okay.
And they have an amazing duet. They sing Love Will Keep Us Together by the Captain and Tennille.
Oh, geez.
And it comes out of nowhere.
We've gotta see
it's
this.
Amazing.
I've got to see this.
Because he's sitting there on their wedding night and he just goes, "Oh, love." And then the music starts. He just goes, "Love will keep us together."
So Neil Sedaka got a check.
Yes. Yeah. And May's big part in that is he's like, she goes, I will.
Now, so. I heard, I don't know if it's true, but that's never stopped me before.
No.
That Mae West at that point could not remember if she had one word.
Right.
She had the earphone.
Oh, that makes sense.
In her ear. And I heard it was really a bad connection, and she was getting airplane signals. So at some point she was going, we're flying at a high altitude. Wind is coming from the northeast.
And she's waiting for a line, and she's getting transmissions from LAX.
Then we'll be heavy turbulence.
And then she'd really play up the word cockpit. Yeah. She'd be like, this is from the cockpit. Yeah.
Tell us the rest of the cast.
So Dom DeLuise is her assistant. He sings Honey Pie by the Beatles.
Great.
Tony Curtis is her Russian diplomat.
Oh, jeez.
Ringo Starr is her egomaniacal Italian director ex. Keith Moon is her fashion designer.
Of course.
Oh.
And there's a big like montage where he has these gowns for her to model.
Thank
and she
you,
just
Paul.
She looks like this fucking creature from hell. And she comes out and there's like a big brassy music. And it's just like da 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 da. And then she'll do one of her old lines. She's like, "I'm the girl who works for Paramount all day and Fox all night." And Keith Moon is playing a flaming homosexual. He's just flipping
Who else
out.
Is in this
Alice Cooper is a bellboy.
Of course.
In a short hair wig, and he plays a disco song on the piano, which is actually great. George Hamilton is her mafiosa ex. George Raff, she's in the elevator with. And she's like, "Hey, George, haven't seen you in about 2 years." He's like, "I was doing 2 years.
We got to get George Hamilton.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. And then Rona Barrett. And then I realized Rona Barrett is also in The Finks, and she's also in Wantantan.
Wow.
So she's another
triple.
Okay,
now what is the name of the speech defect that Rona Barrett had? Because she had almost like an Elmer Fudd type
I don't know. Baba Wawa is I don't know. So
Wow. So that's Sextet.
Sextet. And then, when I interviewed Alice Cooper for the Heavy Metal Movies book, and he told me that May, like, took him aside and said, well, all right, big boy, let's go on up to my place.
Oh, no.
She made a pass at
she
Alice
made
Cooper.
A serious pass, and he said, I'm flattered. He said, you're 100 years old, and I think you might be a man. And then he went and told Keith Moon, who said, oh, you think that makes you special? She did it to me, too, and Ringo.
Wow. Oh, jeez. Ouch.
And we don't know. Alice said he turned her down. I don't know about the other two.
Okay, so where do you want to go here? You got a couple a couple left on your list.
How about this Yellowbeard Million Dollar Mystery?
Fine, let's talk about Yellowbeard because I've actually seen that one. Rattle off the cast of Yellowbeard for us.
So this is like...
You seen Yellowbeard?
I don't remember.
Graham Chapman from Monty Python.
83, this is from.
Yeah.
And this is like a meeting. I mean, this is, you know, your all-star cast.
Yeah,
I mean,
Mason.
So James Mason, yeah. But in terms of comedy, it's The Goon Show, Monty Python.
Spike Milligan.
Mel Brooks. And Cheech and Chong, like all the coterie of actors. And so we got James Mason, but Graham Chapman, Eric Idle, John Cleese, Peter Cook, Spike Milligan, Madeline Kahn, Peter Boyle, Kenneth Mars, Cheech and Chong, and David Bowie is the voice of a shark. It is fucking shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it is not, there's not a funny second in this.
I don't remember it. I remember seeing it when I was
It's another one that, like, you just, it gives you a headache. Just, it's a migraine.
Well, they all disowned it, didn't they?
Yes.
Chapman directed it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, when you were mentioning Ringo Starr, Ringo Starr was also in that,
Candy?
Candy.
That's another debacle.
God damn, we should have brought that up.
Yes, and who else was,
John Huston.
Oh, yeah, John Huston.
Richard Burton.
Right.
John Astin is sort of the Peter Sellers role in terms of like being like he plays a bunch of different characters. So, and that was a thing back then to imitate Dr. Strangelove, of course, was written by Terry Southern.
Well, you know what was funny? The beginning of The Finks, there's like some shtick at the beginning, and then the opening is cartoon.
Right.
So it's obviously wants to be the Pink Panther.
Yes. Oh, that's an excellent point, too. Yeah. All these caper things.
I remember about Yellowbeard, it came out around the same time as another big budget pirate movie that bombed, and that was Pirates with Walter Matthau. The Polanski
movie.
Of all people.
Which was like one of the most expensive films ever
made.
Right.
It was a gigantic.
Yeah.
Pirate movies just bombed one after the other.
And Gina Davis.
Oh, and Cutthroat Island.
That killed her career.
Yeah. Funnier than Yellowbeard.
And now, Brando was in Candy, too?
Yes.
And I'm trying to think, Lee Marvin, or is it James Coburn?
It was an all-star cast.
Yeah.
And then what was the movie, also something about a strangler, that was also an all-star film? Something Beard.
Stranglebeard, I don't know.
Stranglebeard.
Stranglebeard.
Better than Yellowbeard.
Don't forget to follow us on our Facebook page, Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast, on Twitter at RealGilbertACP, and on Instagram, GilbertPodfried. You see, it's kind of a pun on the last name. Yeah, skip it. Also, visit our terrific new website, GilbertPodcast.com for the latest news, episodes, synopsis, behind-the-scenes photos, and videos, and other cool stuff. And if you like the show, and you know you do, please rate and review us on iTunes. Can't you see we're starved for affection? For the love of God!
And what about, and this one Gilbert and I have talked about on the show, talked about actual ripoffs of It's a Mad, Mad World.
Do you want some of the Candy cast?
Yeah, we got the cast of Candy here from our researcher, Paul Rayburn.
Marlon Brando, you got
Brando.
Ringo Starr.
Ringo. You can tell him right at the mic.
Ringo is the Mexican gardener.
James Coburn.
Why is Ringo turning up in all these bombs?
Walter Matthau. Charles Aznavour.
Of course.
Anita Pallenberg.
John Huston, yeah. John Astin,
wow.
Elsa Martinelli, Buck Henry, and there are pages more. That's
yeah.
Julian Beck and Judith Malina.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
So all-star cast, no question.
Yeah, and a tremendous flop.
Yeah, and not a good film either.
No, it's sort of, it's in the same, it keeps company with The Magic Christian, I think. Not The Magic Christian. I like The Magic Christian. What's the one I'm thinking of with John Huston, the all-star bomb?
Myra Breckinridge.
Casino Royale.
Yeah, I mean, kind of Magic Christian, which is a very likable film. Yes, very much. But not,
I
also
misspoke.
Doesn't really kind
but
of work.
But was there a movie where Richard Burton is a strangler?
It sounds familiar. Paul?
I'm here.
While that's happening.
Assassination of Trotsky. Oh, Hammersmith is out. That's what I think that's called.
Hammersmith
is out. I think that's what that's called.
I remember Richard Burton in the Bad Exorcist sequel.
Oh, Exorcist 2.
Oh, God.
The Heretic.
Yes.
Which does have where he says, Kakumum will help me find Pazuzu.
And was there not a movie where they tried to pair Richard Burton and Linda Blair in a May December?
No, it was Richard Burton and Tatum O'Neill.
Tatum O'Neill!
Circle of Two.
Oh!
And she has severely mismatched boobs.
Who else besides Richard Burton was in this movie?
The Strangler movie?
Yeah.
And we'll put it out there to our
fans. I don't know.
If
I could be wrong about
Hammersmith.
Well,
okay, but Paul's working on it. But in the meantime, if he doesn't come
Blackbeard.
Up with it.
Blackbeard!
Blackbeard!
That's it.
I knew
Blackbeard
there.
Blackbeard with Elke Sommer.
We got it.
Yes, Blackbeard. Yes.
Okay.
Sybil Danning, Elke Sommer. Yes, and he kills all his wives. Is it a comedy? Yes, it was a black comedy. He said it was his tribute to Vincent Price.
Who the hell would put Richard Burton in a black comedy? Yeah.
I don't know. Elizabeth Taylor.
Tim and her sense of humor. Okay, so now what we've talked about and the genesis of this, but even before you told us you were coming in, Gilbert and I were talking about clones of It's a Mad, Mad World. These kind of all-star casts, but specifically chasing a fortune.
Right.
Or you know, someone dies and his fortune is scattered to the heirs and there's a madcap pursuit. This movie, Million Dollar Mystery, from 1987, was the one Gilbert was trying to think of.
that had the hefty bags.
It was Gladlock bags.
Oh, Gladlock bags.
So explain to us.
So this was inspired by Dino De Laurentiis saw people lined up in Times Square and he thought they were going to see a movie. But they were buying lottery tickets. So he thought, if only there was a way I could have combined.
Oh, you're funny.
So the premise was this movie that was co-financed by Gladlock Bags. Garbage bags.
Yes.
Would be about this fortune that gets thrown out somewhere in America. And the audience at the end of the movie can go find the actual $1 million. We'll see the people on screen looking for it. And then you can go. But throughout the film, people are like, hand me that Gladlock bag.
Oh, jeez.
So it's not exactly product placement. It's not subtle.
It's placement with product, I guess. Yeah, related
Dino De Laurentiis.
Yeah, and a massive bomb. And I mean, we really want to stretch the idea of star by calling this an all-star cast.
Yeah, this one's a little bit of a stretch, but it falls into the other category.
Oh, absolutely. Which is exactly.
Okay, so who's the cast?
I want to say this is yet again an Eddie Deason vehicle.
Eddie Deason! We got to get Eddie.
You have to.
We'll call him.
Tom Bosley. Rich Hall, who plays... This is another
thing. Sniglets guy.
Yes, in the 80s was like, there'd always be a Rambo parody in a movie.
Yeah.
So he plays the Rambo type of character, Richard. Yeah.
There's a Rambo parody in the Weird Al movie, isn't there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is well done. But everything, Gremlins 2, I mean, you name it. Kevin Pollak, Rick Overton, Penny Baker, who was the 35th anniversary Playboy centerfold. Greg Travis, do you remember him, the stand up? It was David Slees, the punk magician.
Oh,
was his character. And a professional wrestler named Hardboiled Haggerty.
Gilbert wrestled under that name.
Yes.
Hard-boiled agony.
And then a 14-year-old girl did win the prize. She guessed that it was.
So there was a prize.
There really was $1 million in a Gladlock bag. Let's be sure to say a Gladlock bag. It was behind the nose of the Statue of Liberty.
I'm thinking of Joe Dante's impression of Dino when he was on the show.
The shock. He go crazy. He kill the land. He kill everybody.
And before we run out of time, and we're on the subject of Mad World variations,
It's a Mad, Mad World variations. They're homages, to put it politely. Yes. Tell us about, and people have to remember this one, Rat Race.
Rat Race from 2001, you know, unremarkable, but it Gilbert would like this. What is funny about it is the Nazi humor that's in it. But it's...
how did you not turn up in any of these, Gilbert?
Yeah, this is a good question. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, Rowan Atkinson ends up looking... Yes, they go to the Barbie Museum, but it turns out to be the Klaus Barbie Museum. And through one of the, you know, one of these madcap slapstick moments, Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean, ends up like with the Hitler mustache. And
well, he's always funny. Rowan
Atkinson. No, I mean, the cast is good. It's Whoopi Goldberg, I'm Rowan Atkinson, John Lovitz, John Cleese, Wayne Knight, Dave Thomas, Kathy Najimy, and
but
then,
it's trying. It's one of those movies that keeps going, you know, always clumsy.
Oh,
because they got to go to each one's.
Right.
And none of them are that funny.
No, including Mad, Mad World.
Right.
Oh, Mad, Mad World doesn't was work. Never that funny.
Right.
But these other ones are horrible.
Yeah, Rat Race is not good.
And then in Rat Race, I think it's got John Cleese as the rich guy. And so the way they trick him is they're on stage and they go, and, you know, Mr. So-and-so is going to be giving $1 billion to this. And he's like all shocked and scared. And I'm thinking, why can't he just go, no, I wasn't going to do that. That would
have robbed the world of Rat Race. That way.
Yeah.
Gil, how you didn't turn up in one of these is really beyond me. Well, I mean, at least Rat Race or Million Dollar Mystery.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, there's Dave Thomas is in this, and it made me think there's another movie we won't go too far called Speed Zone.
Okay, go ahead.
Which is like a lot of the SCTV cast. And that's my favorite television show of all time is SCTV. They didn't make one decent fucking movie.
No.
Between all of them until Levy hooked up with Chris Guest.
Oh, the Chris Guest. You don't like Strange Brew?
Oh, I'm sorry. I take okay. Yeah. Oh, actually, the actual spinoff movie that I forgot. Yes. No, Strange Brew was pretty good.
It's fun.
But I just remember back when, like, Speed Zone is John Candy and Joe Flaherty. And, you know, these movies would come out and I'd see John Candy and just go, oh, this is going to suck. Like, one after another. But
I got one here, buddy.
Yes.
Before we sign off.
Please. Oh,
did I interrupt you? Go ahead.
Not at all. No.
Okay. I found an all-star cast bad comedy from the 70s.
All right.
And much of the cast is still alive.
Okay.
And we can invite them to do the show. And the movie is called The Big Bus.
Oh, yes. Of course, the nuclear-powered bus. Oh, my God.
It's a disaster movie.
Oh,
a parody of disaster movies. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Holy moly.
Yes.
I really slept on the Big Bus.
Directed by Jim Frawley, who was a Monkees guy, Monkees director. And listen to this cast. Joe Bologna, who we should have.
Oh, yeah.
Stalker Channing, who's around. John Beck, I think was in Xanadu. Or I have the
That's
wrong
Michael
actor.
Beck.
Michael Beck. John Beck was in The Other Side of Midnight. Rene Aubergenois.
Oh,
he's good. Saying that. Ned Beatty. Bob Dishy. Remember Bob Dishy?
Yeah.
Jose Ferrer. Ruth Gordon. Harold Gould. Larry Hagman. Sally Kellerman. Lynn Redgrave. Richard Mulligan. Stuart Margolin.
Oh.
Coming on with us. Howard Hesseman.
He is? Great.
He is. Vic Tayback. what? Vito Scotti. And the list goes on. Terrible. One I've seen.
I did see that. I saw that on Channel 2 on CBS.
The Big Bus.
Yes.
Yeah. What was the plot? Was it nuclear-powered bus?
It was a nuclear-powered plot going from, like, New York to Cleveland, and the big joke was, like, why Cleveland? Why not?
Right. So it was a spoof of Irwin Allen movies.
Right, exactly.
With the all-star cast. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Were there other big-budget disaster spoofs? Were they piled actors, I mean, other than like Swarm, which spoofs itself, or Beyond the Poseidon Adventure, or any of those bad 80s Irwin Allen joints? But
not that I could think. I think the Big Bus was
big
one
bus.
And done. Yeah.
The Big Bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Off the cliff. Yeah.
Man, I just, this has been the most depressing mini episode series that we've ever done. So that's it for Mike. You want to plug the book?
Okay. Oh, yeah. You say the name of the book.
Okay. It's Heavy Metal Movies, Guitar Barbarians, Mutant Bimbos, and Cult Zombies Amok in the GGG most ear and eye-ripping big scream films ever! Exclamation point.
And can you say anything about the book you're working on, or is that
secret? Yeah, the next book is called Going All the Way, The Ultimate Guide to Teen Sex Comedy Movies of the VHS Era. That'll be out for Christmas.
Fantastic. And I will invite our listeners to submit ideas, or not ideas, but submit names of big budget, big cast, all-star cast flops.
Please. I mean, the big bus was out there, and I missed it.
That's
so,
okay. Yeah. I don't know why that popped into my head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe
Thank
Bologna.
God it did.
Who's around.
Yeah.
And I'm Gilbert Gottfried with my co-host, Frank Santopadre, and we've been talking once again to Mike McFadden.
Thank you, Mike.
And
thank you, boys.
This was fun.
Gilbert and
this
Frank's colossal, amazing, colossal.
Something like
one
that.
One day.
Fuck it.
One day I'll get the title right.
Here we go, boys. 1, 2, 3, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Sessions.